UK Wine Show, show number 52, Dimbies and Wine Tourism with Chris White. We've got a double celebration today with the UK Wine Show being 1 year old, show number 52, every week for a year. And Dimbies winning the gold medal at the International Wine Challenge. So, and g'day and welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 52 for the 20th of May. My name's Chris Scott and this week we're talking with Dimbies Managing Director Chris White. Dimbies have just won a gold medal at the International Wine Challenge, beating wines such as Veuve Clicquot's Yellow Label and Dom Pérignon. They're also the UK's largest winery and one of the top wine tourist destinations in the UK, with over 300,000 happy visitors a year. And since English Wine Week starts this Saturday on the 26th of May, we're going to be talking to Chris White and finding out about Dimbies' secret to success. But before we get into that, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. In the news this week, English sparkling wines are top medal winners, and we see the start of a week-long celebration of English wine. But first, the Food Standards Agency has prevented a range of wines with reduced levels of alcohol from being sold in the UK. The French wines made by Domaine La Colombette have had their alcohol lowered by reverse osmosis, a process which filters out molecules from wine. The technology is not allowed in Europe outside of France, where it is allowed to be used on an experimental basis. The EU law is different to international law, which means that technically a wine from the United States using this process can be sold in Europe. The ruling flies in the face of government policy to promote responsible drinking, while new research from the Wine and Spirit Trade Association shows that lower alcohol wines are becoming more fashionable. Next in the news, English wines scooped a record number of medals in this year's International Wine Challenge, receiving 21 medals to beat last year's 16. Sparkling wines took the majority of the medals, with Dimbies picking up a gold for its Greenfields 2003, while Ridgeview took two silvers and two bronzes. So it seems as though English sparkling wines are serious contenders to champagne, although France as a whole needn't be too worried. French wines still dominate the competition, winning 635 medals this year. And finally, English Wine Week kicks off on Saturday with a host of events around the country. Vineyards are putting on special tours and tastings with a chance to meet the producers and learn about winemaking. There are also wine and dine evenings planned at restaurants. The English Wine Week runs from Saturday the 26th of May to Sunday the 3rd of June. For more information, you can visit the website at www.englishwineweek.co.uk. That's all for this week's news, but 10 years ago, Andrew Lloyd Webber's wine collection went up for auction. At the time, it represented the largest ever single-owner cellar auction, with 18,000 bottles of fine wine predicted to fetch over £2 million. For more details on this week's stories, check out the news homepage on our website, 3050.co.uk. That's it from me. Back over to you, Chris.
Thanks, Jane. It's rather lucky we had the interview with Dimbies this week, as they've won that gold medal at the International Wine Challenge with their Dimbies Greenfield. I've been tasting this wine for a while now in 3050's wine tastings, and I was a bit surprised that Ridgeview's Bloomsbury only got a silver medal. That normally the Bloomsbury show is just a wee bit better than Dimbies with the general public, but certainly I didn't see Nye Timber in the results, which was a bit of a surprise. The 1989, 1990 sparklers were very good, but I think the latest vintage, the 2000, is a bit too marmitey and yeasty for my liking anyway, so it hasn't been showing as well in our tastings. But with Ridgeview still to release their 2003 vintage, which was a cracking year for English wine, maybe not the best for some of France, but England did a really good vintage on that and really hot summer. And we've still got Nye Timber as well to produce their 2003. There's going to be some cracking English wines coming out in the next couple of years. In the interview, I did mention Mike Roberts, and I didn't refer to him as the winemaker and owner of Ridgeview, so just in case you're not too sure who he was. Dimbies themselves, though, have been going since 1986, and they had their maiden vintage in 1989. Since then, work has been ongoing to increase visitors to the winery. In 1993, their Chateau-style winery opened with wine tours and a new wine train. In 1994, Dimbies won the Southeast England Visitor Attraction of the Year, 2000 saw the opening of the Performing Arts Library, and 2001 saw the 360-degree cinematic tour. 2002 was a big year with the Vineyard Train, their B&B farmhouse opening, and the Picture Gallery, as well as the Tourist Board's Southeast England Visitor Attraction of the Year. All in all, Denby sets the standard for wine tourism. Let's hear their secret to success. Hi, I'm with Chris White, General Manager at Denby's Wine Estates. How are you, Chris?
Very well, thank you.
Denby's has been going for a number of years. When did you first start?
It's 20 years ago now. My father purchased the estate in 1984. The first vines were planted in 1986, so this year is our 20th anniversary.
Originally, it wasn't a vineyard when you purchased it.
You're right, 20 years ago, we purchased the estate as a pig and cattle farm, and we were looking for another use for the estate, and this is when we were approached by a good friend of my father's, Professor Sully, and he pointed out to my father that it would be ideal for vine production, and we did a sample plot, and the rest is history.
Why did he say it was good for vine production?
Well, on the North Downs, they're all chalky soils, it's south-facing slopes, and we do have our own microclimate, which protects us from some of the easterly winds. We can take a little of the chill out of the air, and which does help promote the vine growth.
Okay, and chalky soil is quite good because it's both porous, so the water flows through it, but it can hold water as well in the dry years.
That's right, yes. The vines hate having their feet in water, so both being on slopes and on chalk soils, the chalk is fractured, but it also maintains a little bit of moisture, so the vines can suck up as little or as much as they want during different times of the year.
You guys grow not just some of the real trendy sparkling wines that are out now, but also a lot of still wines, whites and reds. Mm-hmm. What grows well down here?
Well, we grew a lot of vines. We planted 18 different varieties 20 years ago, and because of the change in trends of drinking certain particular wines in the UK, and due to global warming, we're able to grow different varieties now, which we weren't quite so lucky with before. We grow a lot of Pinot Noir, which not only goes into our sparkling wines, but also goes into our reds and our rosé. And we produce Bacchus, Chardonnay, Müllerturge, Reichensteiner, so some German varieties and quite a lot of French as well.
What would you say would be your personal favourite?
My personal favourite is perhaps the Ortegas and the Müllers, which go into the Surrey Gold, which is a nice, easy-drinking white wine. But I also like the Pinot Noir because it's so versatile for us. As I say, it goes into our rosés, sparklings, or the reds. Again, this year we've been able to produce a sparkling rosé from that, so it's a really good variety to use.
You talked about your Surrey Gold. That's actually available in some of the multiples. You're one of the few wineries in the UK that are big enough to supply the supermarkets. You've got about, 106 hectares, you're saying?
Yes, that's right. The vineyard's 106 hectares. This year, of the Surrey Gold alone, we produced 125,000 litres of that, which equates to just over 150,000 bottles. And you're right, we supply that to some of the multiples like Waitrose, Summerfield. We also supply Harrods with some of our premium wines. And the Pinot Cruise Lines take our Surrey Gold as well on obviously all the cruises around the Mediterranean and the Caribbean. So we get a lot of visitors who've been on the cruises who come here for a tour afterwards after drinking our wine in the Caribbean.
You sell through the supermarkets, but you've got a visitor centre here. How much wine gets sold through the visitor centre?
Well, obviously, we try and encourage as much as possible the majority of our wine to go through the visitor centre. 75% of the total production goes through the visitor centre, and we do that through the functions that we hold here, our two restaurants, the shop, and our online sales, which go through the internet.
Do you sell, just out of curiosity, do you sell the wines in the shop the same price as you sell them in the restaurant?
No, there is a corky charge on top of it. Obviously, it's if we can sell every wine we produce through the glass, that's what we're trying to achieve. Hence the reason why we have this sort of investment in the restaurants.
Sure. No, that's fine. I was just curious to see what was going on there. You guys were given an award recently, a couple of years ago, as a tourist attraction.
Yes, as a tourist attraction, we won Southeast Tourist Attraction of the Year Award, which was given to us by the English Tourist Board. So we're very pleased with that. And again, although we are a serious agricultural business, it's an integral part of the business from the start to invest in the tourist attraction so we could educate people on the complexity and perhaps give them a greater appreciation of what goes into producing a bottle of wine.
What do you guys do to become one of the Southeast's tourist attractions? What have you got here that would bring people down?
Well, obviously, we've got the vineyard, and in order that people can see the vineyard, we have a vineyard train which takes people with a running commentary through the vineyard and explains to them why the grapes are grown here and a little bit more about the varieties. We also have a winery tour which takes them on a 360-degree cinema which shows them the winemaking process throughout the year, because a few things may not be going on at that particular time which they come to visit the vineyard, the winery. They take them through the working winery, and they'll see it, the grapes either being pressed at certain times of the year, fermenting in the stainless or barrel tanks. And then they'll see the wine being bottled, labelled, and then they'll be taken down to the cellars for a tasting of three of our wines. We also have an arts gallery, performing arts library, the shops, the restaurants, and this year we've opened up a garden centre. So always trying to attract people to Denby's for the elements which are surrounding around wines. You've got obviously the wines and the arts, which go very well together.
How many visitors do you get then?
We have about 300,000 visitors a year, which is seems to be increasing year on year. So we're having to expand our facilities internally to cope with that sort of growth.
You've got a nice big car park here. Is there good public transport down here?
We have fantastic. I mean, we're only 5 minutes from the M25, but we also have the train from London, which leaves both from Paddington and Victoria, and it comes into Dorking, and it's only 10 minutes walk away, so it's easy to get here, the train.
Okay, it's always quite good if you come down here, have a couple of glasses of wine, then you can always jump on the train and head
definitely,
back,
yeah.
Not worrying about driving, which is always a bit of a worry sometimes.
That's right.
So 300,000 visitors, quite a few visitors coming up. What sort of person comes down here?
Well, we have a huge range of visitors here, but the majority of them are probably the over 50s. But again, we do a lot of activities here. We don't have just the wine tours. We also have a lot of conference facilities. We do weddings here. So the demographic group does change from whatever event we're doing. So again, a lot of our corporate events, the age range does go down, but the majority of our regular business, which is locals who come in here for lunch and use our shopping facilities here, are normally over the 50 mark.
You were saying earlier you got coach parties coming down.
That's right.
Spend a couple of hours here. What else do they do in the area? Do they come here exclusively to Denby's, or do they do it as part of a general tour?
Yeah, a lot of them do come here exclusively for Denby's, but we are in partnership with other tourist attractions like Wisley Gardens, and locally we have Painshill Park, which is an outdoor attraction with fantastic lakes and other features. So we work closely with other tourist attractions so that we can give somebody a full package and give them a full day outing. And they may not be wine specialists or even wine lovers, so we balance off between the two visitor attractions to give them a fully balanced day.
What do you think is the most popular part of coming to Denby's as a visit?
I think it's the whole experience, really. I mean, our unique selling point is the quality of what we offer, and that just doesn't just come from the wines, but it comes from the whole experience as a whole, whether they're eating in the restaurants or shopping. So I think it's just the overall experience. So again, we base our whole company mission statement is really to produce the best quality product possible at the optimum realizations. So as long as we keep that sort of target, then we're achieving our ultimate goal, really.
I was talking to Michael Roberts before. They're a specialist sparkling wine producer.
That's right.
And I asked him why he doesn't produce still wines.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, the healthiest vineyard is a profitable vineyard.
Absolutely right.
You guys produce a lot of still wines. And some of the wines you sell are at quite reasonable price. You know, they're like $4.99 in Waitrose.
That's right.
Are you profitable?
We're certainly profitable. I think because a lot of English vineyards are based around trade sales, obviously they don't receive even that $4.99 price. So what we do here, we make sure we get the cream ourselves. Hence the reason why we sell the majority of our wines through the visitor centre. But again, we do sell a lot of the premium wines, which are a lot more expensive than that. But I think it's a balance, really, between the expensive wines and your less expensive wines. And I think it's a factor of where you sell them as well. If you're selling them in supermarkets, the margins are extremely tight.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not been a long-term strategy for us, selling through the supermarkets in huge volumes. It's more of a sort of secondary outlet for us.
You've got quite a few varieties of wine. How are you guys going in the competitions? Do you get into the...
Yes, we do. We've entered a lot of international competitions this year. It's been our best year ever. We won a gold award in the International Wine and Spirits Competition for our sparkling Best in Class. And that was for our Greenfields. So that was very exciting. But across
Who was that against? Was that just...
No, that was against all the sparkling wines across the world, including France. However, the Champagne region do have their own classification. We'd very much like to come up head-to-head with them at some time. But amongst the top ones, we were still competing against a South African and an Australian sparkling wine. So it was very exciting for us. So what it means for us is that we're not only now competing with wines from around the world, in some aspects we're beating them as well. So it's an exciting time for us at the moment.
One of the issues associated with English vineyards is frost. How do you guys manage frost here?
Well, frost has been a real pain for us over the years. We've tried various methods, whether it be the smudge pots or the diesel barrels of burners. We've also used big, huge fans over the years, but we've now invested in a frost buster.
What's that?
It looks very much like a glorified jet engine, and it is a big fan which blows out hot air, natural gas, so it's a lot cheaper and more environmentally friendly. But unfortunately, a vineyard worker has to drive it round on the back of a tractor all evening. And the idea of this machine is to keep the air moving. It'll cover about 10 hectares, and it'll cost us about £800 per night running, but whereas the diesel burners used to cost us about £7,000. So it's a balance between the two.
Fantastic. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there, Chris. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Chris White. What I liked about Denby's was they make good wines for the market, and some of their wines are absolutely cracking. They know their clients, and they deliver exactly what their client wants. Denby's is a great example about how wine tourism can give people what they want, and at around 75% of their wine sold through the winery, it also helps their bottom line. This week we've got a couple of tickets to give away to the BBC Good Food Summer Festival in Birmingham, NEC, on the 13th through to the 17th of June. To enter, simply tell us a celebrity appearing in the Super Theatre. You can find them on the BBC website at www.summer.bbcgoodfoodfestival.com. Send your answers to me at chris.scott@ukwineshow.co.uk. If you are going to the BBC Good Food Festival, we'll be running a small stand and we'll be doing some tastings with small groups of people. So do come and look me up and enjoy that. I'm quite pleased. I'm starting to get a couple of emails from people. I had an email from Bill Betton, who listens to the show while driving to work. He reckons you get pretty much what you pay for when it comes to wine. He's been experimenting with wines, and what he does is he picks a price he wants to spend on the wine and then finds a wine that he's never heard of in a region that he's not really too sure about. He reckons it's a great way of experimenting. His only advice is don't go for massively discounted wines. You know, was $7.99, now $3.99. I pretty much agree with him. I think you got to be careful of two types of wines. The first are wines you don't know, and often they'll be listed at $7.99. With the idea of just getting them up there and then discounting them down to $3.99 to suck people into buying that wine at what they perceive as a discounted price, even if the $7.99 price was already not really a realistic price. The second type of wine you've got to be a bit careful of is wines that you know quite well that you see on discount all the time. If the wine is on discount and they sell most of the wine at $3.99, you've got to ask the question, what price do you think they're making the wine for? Is it $7.99 where they sell hardly any, or $3.99 where they sell most of the wine? I like the idea of just randomly picking a wine that you don't know about. It's a great way of experimenting, and you do get what you pay for if you're careful. Next week, we're going to be continuing our look at English wine with the Marketing Director of English Wine Producers, Julia Trustram-Eve. So, until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show was brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show was produced by Jane Scott and recorded and edited by Chris Scott. The news was read by Jane Scott and researched by Sandra Clement. The music for the UK Wine Show is Griff to Jingle 1 by Marcel de la Jatelle and Silence by Etoile Noire.